in Thailand and places like that, they say the Buddha taught two things, suffering and how to stop it. And from a Mahayana perspective, the Buddha taught three things, suffering, how to stop it, and how to help others. And as much as, so the motivation that we're focusing on this morning is about how to effectively help others, how to develop that attitude in our mind so we can really be of the greatest possible benefit to all living beings, not just ourselves. We're part of all living beings. It's not bad or wrong to want to be happy. That's what we all have in common, actually, something very intimate that we know about one another is we all want to be happy and we all want to not suffer. So take a couple of minutes, sit up straight and settle the mind, focusing on the breath. Just the experience of breathing, whatever works for you, but focus on the breath. And every time the mind wanders, which it will many times, simply bring it back to the experience of breathing. And it's that bringing the mind back that's building up that noticing that you're distracted, bringing the mind back. That's the essence of the practice. If you have to do it a million times in the next 5 minutes, that's perfectly okay. That's the practice of meditation at this point. So let's do that for a few minutes. Be easiest for some of us to focus on the sensation of breathing at the nostrils. Some people, the rising and falling of the abdomen or the expansion of the chest. Just the whole experience of breathing in and then that moment, that pause at the moment or just before you exhale. Again, keeping your mind focused on that, the totality of the experience of breathing in and out. Something where always doing, we can always connect to the experience of breathing. Wants to suffer. Something very basic, very sort of, that's not that profound, that's not that big a deal, but that's, we forget about that. We forget that everybody wants the same thing. We just go about it in so many different ways, sometimes really bizarre, unhealthy, unskillful ways, actually. So, the foundation of this mind that we're trying to develop, this wish to become enlightened in order to free all beings. Well, yes, you used to crystallize it in just one saying, as much as I can, I dedicate my life to others. That's kind of the essence of what Kadampa Center is about, is educating us to develop that mind, but it is not a natural, instinctive way to think. Our egocentric, self-centered way of thinking is the normal way, and it doesn't work. So we need to train the mind to develop this attitude. So the foundation, the play, the flat ground to build this mansion called The Awakening Mind, Bodhicitta, dedicating your life to others as much as you can every day. The foundation of that is something we call equanimity, where we... And there's no way to want to get enlightened for all beings or want to develop our heart and mind, to develop all these good qualities and eliminate our faults so we can help all beings. Well, we'll help some. We'll help just our friends. But our enemies and the people we've never met, we don't care about, don't worry about them. But that's not how it works. This is a universal compassion we're trying to develop. This is the key. If we're looking for the keys to the universe, this is the key to develop this attitude of universal compassion. It's not instinctive. So we have to work at it. So we have to learn how to we cling to the people that we like that say nice things, and we need to learn how to let go of that clinging, realizing that clinging attachment, it never lasts. Whatever the object is, it changes. It changes, just like the attachment changes. So friends can become enemies. You know, we put a lot of energy and effort into clinging to the friends, and we feel we cling to the notion of, I don't like this other person, which is like the word we use for that is aversion. It's a sort of a negative attachment. So we don't like somebody, so we cling to the idea that they're inherently bad or evil, or somehow they harmed me or someone I love or like, and so we instinctively push them away. And that person that we label the so-called enemy or object of aversion, it might not last. Eventually they'll die, right? Or we will. But the person that we don't like could actually become a friend with just a few kind words, an apology, or an effort to reconnect. We could actually become friends. And the so-called strangers in the world, the vast majority of beings, you know, could become friend or enemy just based on some words that we have with them. So we want to develop equal regard for all beings. The so-called friends, the beings that we label friend, that we cling to, the beings that we label strangers, that we feel indifference toward, and the beings that we call enemies, that we feel aversion toward. We want to develop an equanimous attitude of mind, equal regard for all beings. And that has to be the foundation of any effort to develop universal compassion. Has to be. That's the strong foundation. And then we can reflect on the fact that we all do equally want to be happy and don't want to suffer. Just as I want to be happy and I don't want to suffer. All living beings, they want exactly what I want. We're all equal in this very important way. And it said that this is actually the most powerful method of developing an attitude of loving kindness toward others, is realizing that we're all equally want to be happy and don't want to suffer. And we can reflect momentarily on how all of our suffering, all of our problems, this is something you can check out, as motivated by self-centeredness. This attitude of me, me, I, I'm the most important one. Killing and stealing and adultery, lying, slander, harsh, frivolous talk, greed, hatred, ignorance, all the 10 non-virtues are fed by this self-cherishing, self-centered mind. You know, our worst enemy is selfishness. And our greatest ally is an attitude that cherishes others. If we cherish others, You know, no killing, no stealing, no adultery, no lying, no slander, harsh and frivolous talk. All the things that we do with our body, speech, and mind are, you know, would be remedied by an attitude that truly cherishes others. And so we want to do a little switch as much as we can. We want to exchange the attitude of selfish, self-cherishing for an attitude that cherishes others, sincerely cherishes others, based on true understanding, not some wishful thinking. It takes time, but it's so important. And then we get to a point, and there are meditations in between, but we don't have time this morning to do them, but we get to a point where we, based on not sentimentality or some kind of egomaniacal, you know, wish, but we sincerely, based on love and compassion, we make the decision that we're going to help everybody. We're going to help ourselves, but we're also going to, we're not leaving anybody out. It's not just about my happiness. It's not just about stopping. It's not just about suffering and stopping my suffering. It's about stopping everyone's suffering and guiding them to true lasting happiness. Let's call it sometimes universal wish, a supreme wish, but it's a heroic attitude. In a heroic attitude of a spiritual warrior, a so-called bodhisattva. And then realizing that we can't even do it for this one, much less our living being, all these sentient beings. We haven't done it for this one. We put our aim on, we set our goal. Again, it's an attitude of mind. It takes a long, long time to really cultivate it so that it becomes instinctive. But the goal is to eliminate our faults, develop our good qualities to the nth degree, compassion, loving kindness, skillful means, all these useful and helpful attitudes in order to be able to guide others to experience their own true nature of compassion, loving kindness, wisdom, and skillful means. So our goal is so-called enlightenment, supreme enlightenment. And how do we do that? We work on ourselves. We develop our minds. We develop this attitude of bodhicitta, our awakening mind. So this attitude is the heart of Kadampa Center. It's the heart and soul of everything that Geshe-la talks about and that we teach. As much as we can in the beginning, it's effortful. It's not natural, but we make effort to develop this attitude and then try as much as we can to develop some feeling for it, so that it's not just ruminating about words, but we actually feel this way. And as much as possible, let's listen to the teachings this morning and try to carry this attitude in our mind throughout the rest of the day and hopefully forever, but at least the next hour would be a good start. Thank you.
Turn to page 34 in the Gold Prayer Book. And if you have the white binder and not the Gold Prayer Book, please turn to the first page titled Kadampa Center Prayers. And we'll begin by chanting Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra three times. Teyata Om Mune Mune Mahamanaye Soha Teyata Om Now the medicine Buddha Sanzen mantra is on the blue sheet in the Kadampa Center prayer binder. Bhagawan with equal compassion for all, whose name when merely heard dispels the suffering of the lower realms, dispel of disease and the three poisons, I prostrate to medicine Buddha, lapis light. Teyata om bekante, bekante, maha bekante, bekante, rata samugate soha. Teyata om bekante, bekante, maha bekante, bekante, rata samugate soha. Teyata om bekante, bekante, maha bekante, bekante, kande rata samugate soha deyata om bekante bekante maha bekante bekante rata samugate soha deyata om bekante bekante maha bekante bekante rata samugate soha deyata om bekante bekante maha bekante bekante Raja Samugate Soha Teyata Om Bekante Bekante Maha Bekante Bekante Raja Samugate Soha. And now the four measurables three times. May all sentient beings have happiness in the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. May all sentient beings have happiness in the cause of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the cause of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. We turn to page 37, and at the bottom you see two mantras. So we'll chant the mantra of Chenrezig eight times, and he's the embodiment of all the Buddha's great compassion and wisdom. And then Green Tara's mantra seven times, and she's the deity of enlightened activity.
And please, you know, remember all the animals and people impacted by hurricanes, recent hurricanes, in some part of North Carolina, very badly hit. So remember, like, a lot of animals lost their lives, so please remember while you're saying the mantra.
Mani te me hu, oh 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 mani. Taritu taritu re soha, om 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 taritu taritu re soha. Om Taritu Taritu Re Soha. Thank you. The children are welcome to go to their classes.
Good morning. So, even though I don't get opportunity, or not opportunity, I shouldn't say opportunity, probably there's a lot of opportunities. I don't know, even though I did not greet you personally one by one, but I remember many of you by face, not by name, so I always try to greet in the beginning of the class in a group. That's why I say good morning, thank you, Dr. Brown. Thank you very much for leading the wonderful guided meditation, how to set up motivation. So that was wonderful, very good. So teaching is finished. So Dr. Brown. Every practice that we do individually or group, so motivation is one of the important things, and the dedication. So in the beginning, motivation, and the end, the dedication is quite important. So, so there's a few questions here. So first, I'm going to read those questions. So then, the piece of paper that's the outline, all the outline. Yeah, so. Oh, yeah, oh, this could be.
That's very small to read. There's this also. This is. These are tricky ones.
Yeah, this is better. This is, yeah, please take this. This is too small. So the first question is, I had no problem with the hurricanes, but I'm very aware that many other lost homes and life or lives. How can I reconcile? There's a difference. Reconcile. What reconcile means?
Make sense of, yeah.
Huh?
Make sense of it.
Make sense of it. Any donations, please? Any donations? Not the money donation, donations for the questions. Any contribution for the questions, Dr. Brown? Reconcile these differences. How can I reconcile these differences?
Use the microphone,
Don. Yeah. If I understand what's being said, it's like, is it sort of like all these bad things happened to animals and people, but it didn't happen to me.
Mm.
And so, why not me? Yeah, this comes up in a lot of soldiers, like in different wars and stuff like that. Their buddies are all shot and around them and killed, but then they go and it torments them. And it's a common question: is why not me? Buddhism, as I understand it, has a very simple answer, but it's not always satisfying. It's not your karma. We didn't create the cause to have that happen to us in this life. And so karma explains everything, all the experiences that we have and so forth, the ripening of past actions. So if we experience suffering, it's the ripening of past non-virtue. If we experience happiness, it's the ripening of virtuous action. So, in a sense, it's a great teaching because we don't want those things to happen to us. So we can So we use this, use this situation as an opportunity to be inspired to practice virtue, but at the same time, not to ignore the suffering of others, but actually to try to help as much as we can.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, might give money, might give time and money, whatever we can do to help out. But if the question is, why not me? Why did it happen to them and not me? That's one answer. Anybody got another one?
Is this good things? Why not me? That's a good attitude. I think it's a good attitude. It's good. Yeah, it's good attitude.
Yeah.
Why not me? Is that compassion? Or is that guilt?
Yeah.
Huh?
It could. It could lead to feeling guilty.
Why not me? So then, you know, if there's a positive attitude, so then based on that, then you can do Tonglen practice. You can do giving and taking practice. So, like, that's how reconcile. So, yeah, things happen every day. Some of that we are aware, some of that we are not aware. And like ancient time, because lack of technologies, you know, so things happen, people don't know. So now we know very quick. So as a Buddhist, what do you do? So like physically, there's so much you can do. The world, there's a lot of problems in the world, everywhere. Or when you travel to like different countries, you see like child, very mentally unstable, like a 10-year-old boy running, begging, throwing up, crying. Yeah, you feel so bad. But practically, what you can do, there's nothing much you can do. So you give some money. Person is not aware of money, somebody will take that money because that person is mentally unstable. There's many of them. You know, every day, there's all over the world. So, if you are doing practice every day at home, so you pray for them, you pray. That's how you reconcile. As a Buddhist, you pray for them. Do your prayers power? Hard to say. See, no, that's also very much dependent on the circumstance. So then that's why, you know, we say here mantra every morning, begin the class. If we do a group, that prayer will become more powerful. So we sent, you know, that's what Tonglen practice is about. So out of loving kindness, then you sent all the positive things out of loving kindness. Not out of guilt or fear. You know, out of loving kindness, then you breathe out, you exhale, then you sent all the good things. If somebody needs water, so you just imagine, you just, you know, even there one song, what do you imagine? Mm-hmm. What is the song?
Imagine
what? I think there's some nice song, Imagine.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I don't sing songs. So I heard like a... No, so the meditation, the Tonglen is like very much based on imaginations, the wonderful imagination. Then you try to do that out of loving kindness. So then whenever you generate loving kindness, then you get immense benefit. So that means you are developing, you are generating positive thoughts. Then you get benefit. That's the best way to reconcile someone who lost, you know. So, but you didn't create that, you know. That's just natural disaster. So then going very detailed into technical things is not much benefit. But much better pray. No, that's the best thing we can do, just pray. Do Tonglen practice, just imagine all their life, then visualize them, then do Tonglen practice. Maybe say the Tonglen practice and that guides you into the meditations. If you know how to say the word, then you say. If not, then just, you know, through loving kindness you give. Out of compassion, then you take. Not only you, that you are the one who's doing giving and taking practice, but when you take, then you take on, you know, as Dr. Brown mentioned, beginning of the class, this attitude, you know, like my way, highway, or the attitude, you know, so like having a self-cherishing mind, unreasonable self-cherishing mind is the one who causes all the problems. Huh? That's what Dr. Barber said it very well. Enemy is within, it's not something outside. But, you know, dealing with that enemy is not easy. And unfortunately, there's no easy solutions. There is no easy solutions. But everybody has to put effort. And with that, you could concur. Otherwise, I can pray for you all day long, but it's not going to change that much. Not everybody, chip in, chip in. Huh?
Chip in.
Everybody chip in. So then you do a little bit of your part. Then everybody, then you know, that mind could change. Attitude could change. Oh. Oh, so maybe somebody wants to say, yeah. Maybe Tonglen practice, whoever asking this question, Tonglen practice, giving and taking. Tong means give or send. Len means take. Give out of loving kindness, then take out of compassion. You can conjoin that practice with your breathing. Exhale out of loving kindness. Inhale out of compassion. So then when you inhale, what you are inhaling, you are not inhaling their goodness, you are inhaling their problems. But you are the one who is doing it, but not on take on you, but on this self-changing mind, which is the root of all the problems. Then just imagine the minute you took all the problems on that self-changing mind, and just imagine that self-changing mind get destroyed, completely destroyed. Okay?
Yeah, well,
Michael
is
Yeah, the comment is with the situation with the hurricane, that is an ongoing situation, it's not over. So 1 hour from here are people who are struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the situation is on our mindset and actions, no? I think a lot of people are just involved to try to help those people. But yesterday I was in a celebration, something for the equinox, no? And someone who was there, who was the chance to fly in helicopter with the governor to check it out what's going on, he was saying, all the people here don't have an idea what is happening. So they have power, they are okay, but 1 hour from here, people are without power, I was struggling, no? So my thought is in the sense that if we are okay, you are disconnected with what's going on or not. If we are disconnected, we are continuing our lives, no? Now going another place. Or we do something physically in the possibility of our capabilities, or just, I imagine, demanding the people who are in charge what they are doing. So in order that we are informed of the progress of the situation, that is hard, it's not easy to solve, no, the water, the flooding, it's not easy thing, but at least my thought is not be disconnected on the situation. So we need to be connected. I don't know how. Depends on everybody, no? It's my thought.
This gentleman is exactly right, and I wasn't going to mention this, and to keep it short, my family decided to return from Florida on a week ago today, and our 8-hour trip turned into 14. We were almost washed off the road. We saw communities going underwater immediately before our eyes, and it was stunning. People walked around the streets in the dark, dazed, not knowing where to go, and my husband said we're almost like disaster tourists without meaning to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
And we finally made it home safely, and it took us a good 2 days to wash the stress out of our bodies, because it was amazing to watch this community with 36% poverty go underwater and have them lose everything. And so I agree, we have to stay connected, and I wouldn't have been as connected if I wouldn't have seen it literally in real time. And So part of, I think, that reconciliation is to do whatever little you can to help out. And these people are going to need help for a long time, not just this month, not in 2 months, but for a year or more. And then even when they do get back on their feet, their problems still remain because of their poverty rate. So that was a real enlarging experience to be literally on the front lines, but get away unaffected. And so, yes, you're right. We need to find ways to connect with people more and more. And I'm grateful we're home safe, but it's unbelievable until you actually go down and see it. Thank you.
Elise, we are doing something. Are we doing something here?
Go ahead and
like physically.
Elise, yes. Go ahead now.
Yeah.
Well, we are collecting food for people and pets victims of the hurricane. Mm. And we do emphasize food. Water is welcome, of course, but we really need a lot of food because people are in need of the food now and will be, as they said, for months and months. This food will be delivered via the Food Bank of East Central and Eastern North Carolina. So people are already connected to them. They know how to distribute the food where it's needed. And this is, and the food for the pets, which is equally important, will be collected. Mm. And if the Food Bank won't distribute it, we will distribute it through the ASPCA Pet Food Pantry.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah.
My thought would be here, this storm was expected to come here, and all of us that have lived here for a while remember when Hurricane Fran visited us about 20 years ago, and there was no power for 1 week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and almost all the streets were blocked with fallen trees. And so thinking of exchanging ourself with others, I think it's easy for us to imagine how it could have happened to us here. We were just lucky this time, but I think it should motivate us to applaud all the efforts of our government to help people. We know there'll be many expenses, and we know there are some things we could do, giving things, perhaps going to help repair, and maybe our karma made us lucky this time, but we know there'll be more hurricanes this year, next year. Someday it will be, we will have the suffering here.
Also, you know, like if the government is helping, and you know, because they, you pay tax. When the government helps, you know, so then also it seems like that you are helping. So I remember, you know, Tibetan, we have been refuge, like since 1959. When I went to monastery, when I was 7 years old, boy, went to the monastery, I remember like getting this grain, bag of grain. You see, that's America, USA. You see, you know, two hand shaped like, that's like 1970. I was in the monastery. And that, the kind of, this tin of oil that, you know, distributed. So that's coming from your money, your tax money. So it's reaching, even though you are aware that I've been eating your taxpayer money. So even though you are aware, not, I've been eating that probably like 30, 40 years, you know, so that's your money, you pay, you're aware of that. So that happening all over the world, that your taxpayer money, you know, wherever there's disaster, the relief fund, and you are part of that. There's something to think about. Then, you know, Kadamba Center, we do like this kind of voluntary. So I remember first time when we came, we went to somewhere that fixed somebody's house. Yeah, there's Guruvas, we went there, you know, so, and yeah, so Elise usually organize that, so then I'm glad to hear that there's like something that you can donate the food, then that will go to the people who like very affected, okay, so, yeah, so we do, and then thank you very much for your comment, and both of your comment, and thank you very much. So that's very good. So right, no, not just prayer, we do what we can do. So if somebody asks donation, then
I saw a sign in Cape Carteret 2 days ago that said, thank you for your prayers, but we need your chainsaws. And the prayer and meditation for me is very important to be in prayer for these people. But as it turned out, I had some free time and enough money to go and go there. And it's devastated, and we don't know here. You can't get there because the rivers flood at different times, and a road will be opened, and then it's closed, and the highway patrol doesn't know where cars are going or even where to tell them to go. And most of the people have power, and they have water, but they have big trees on their mobile homes that aren't insured. And FEMA is referring people to the Red Cross because they can't help them. And these are people, and there's a lot of poverty, and it is an hour from here, and 2 hours from here it's worse, and 3 hours from here it's worse than that, and everything's still underwater. For me, since I do have the time and I do have some means, it has been very gratifying to go and go, how can I help you? And they have stuff to do. They'll give you stuff to do. And I learned this thing, and I want to share this, that when I was here and it was on the news and it was so horrible, and I saw people at gas stations and grocery stores at their worst here in the Triangle. And these people are under 3 feet of water down there, and they're letting old people go first, and they're helping their neighbors. And what it looks like to me is the fear of what might happen is so much worse than what really happens, because these people are living in it, and they need physical help. So if I have $10 or $20, or if I have 3 days and an axe and a chainsaw, it really helps people, because they don't have any help right now. So I just thought I would add that.
Is there any way to organize, at least organize maybe trips, group trip? Yeah, to go down there. So I'm more than happy to come. So whatever, like there's maybe carpool or something. Yeah. Maybe not easy, you know, like one person is like can organize, but a lot of people need help. So yeah, it'll be not wonderful if we can go as a group and help, you know, maybe even one day. Like yeah, so I'm more than happy to come. Yeah. So maybe talk to police, at least maybe what we can do. Maybe organize something or, what do you think, Domasi?
That's a great idea, if we can find the right organization to work with. Yeah.
Yeah, so then canceling one class on Sunday, there's nothing. So we can just go there. So that can be in our class, just, you know. Yeah. No need to worry about class at the center. Yeah. Yeah, Andrew.
As Don was talking, I was thinking about karma. And for me, karma really explains so much, as Don said. It gives you the why, you know, which I think is very important, because we want to know why me, why not me. You know, why did we suffer? Remember, there was this book written years back, Why Do Good People Suffer, or something like that, right? The answer wasn't very satisfying, but karma was. I've noticed that people, oftentimes, those who believe in a creator God, those who believe in a personal God, they will always pray and pray and pray, and then if their houses are not hit, they don't experience loss, and they feel like, well, God has really answered my prayers. But then my question was, well, what about the other people who were praying? You know, somehow it doesn't seem right. Karma takes that fairness out of it. It's not about being fair or anything like that. It's just the result of our actions. Karma is action. Every act is a karma. right? So when I think about that, then I think about then what am I doing to make sure that I don't experience that? What can I do to help other people understand karma so that they won't experience that? You know, I think this is an important thing to understand. And so it's not just like, well, because these people have done all these terrible things because they're poor, because this and that, this is why this happened to them, and because I'm such a good person, and I donate to the community, I pray, I'm a wonderful Christian, Buddhist, Muslim, whatever it may be, it just doesn't happen to me, you know. No, we created the causes and conditions for everything. You know, I think when we really understand that, then if I created the causes and conditions for this to happen to me now, I got to think about the future. What can I do this present moment so that I don't have this experience in my next life? You know, I think this is how we can use this stuff to really be able to help. So it's not a matter of just painting the red paint on your house so that God will spare your house and so forth. It's not about that at all. It's about how do I live my life, you know? How am I serving others? What am I doing to make sure that I don't have this experience in my next life? Yeah, just wanted to share that.
Droid, you went there, down there. Did you went?
Yeah.
Is it possible to get through?
Somehow. It changes, but yeah, there's a way to get, but like it's the Neuse River around Kinston. It goes up and goes down.
Do you have like a particular family that need help? Do you have particular family that need help? Or you just went to one family? Or?
My mother can take care of hers. She has money and insurance. And
no, you went to like some family to help there?
I just got back yesterday.
How many families?
My mother has a house in Cape Carteret. But her house is in a...
How many families did you help there?
Yeah.
Did you talk to a specific family?
Five or six. I mean, everybody. But there's so much need. Mm.
So I was wondering maybe like something that can center can organize like next Saturday or Sunday?
That
we can go like...
Any
some
fire
group?
Department, any EMS station, any police station, if you said we have eight people and we have chainsaws and axes and trash bags, they would be able to direct you somewhere helpful.
Is there a class next Sunday, maybe Saturday or Sunday, or if people are willing to go, maybe I'm sure there are
one of the biggest,
want to go. So.
One of the biggest problems is there's a mold that's growing. It's black and green. Nobody really knows much about it, but it's growing really fast. So there's stations set up where people have like moldicide and bleach, and I know there's somebody here that knows about mold, because
it's not good.
Yeah, well, we have an expert here, and she might be able to advise about what could be taken.
We live in the house. There's mold like all year long. So, but the only difference in monastery, you can open the window. You know, you just like close like this, open all the time, but there's mold. So some of my friends, when they came to visit monastery, oh, Gila, there's mold. Then we have no idea. We just thought that that's created by water. The roof is leaking, so that's what happens when the roof doesn't get wet. And some parts of the world, too, and people living there. I'm not sure. So anyway, if we can organize something like that, you know, that would be wonderful. So instead of class next Sunday, such a day, you know, so then if you are not able to come, you can put something here. But then when we go, we will check. So don't feel bad that they know that I cannot come, you know. So you can put something, they will check. So I'm not sure what's the best, at least the best way to do. I'm not sure.
I'll investigate.
Yeah, so...
Just canned foods or not breads and stuff like that. Canned foods.
Water probably.
Yeah, this, you know, these are the good thing, good things to do, right? Good things to do. So.
At least I'll get with you after. My son and I and my husband are looking at helping a certain town, and so there's lists of things available, and
very
there
good.
Are people to contact, and so I'll help you with that because it's something we intend to follow up on.
Director, Robbie, what do you think?
I trust Elise. Elise is good at this kind of
thing. Yeah, so it looks like everybody's really wanting to do something. You know?
Volunteers.
Yeah.
Another comment.
Yeah.
No, I was talking with a guy who's over, works high up with emergency management, and he said what they're experiencing down there, too, isn't common to this area. It's more common to, like, the larger rivers, that there are rolling crests in the river because there's such a wide area that was flooded. So, I mean, one thing you don't want to, you got to be careful not to send a group down that can get in trouble. You know, yeah. They'd have to know. I mean, you'd have to organize it well because you don't want people to become part of the problem. Another thing, I mean, I had the tornadoes hit my house a couple years back, my neighbor's house. They had a group there that was chainsawing trees off their house, and a guy cut his arm with the chainsaw bad. So anything like that, you want to make sure you have proper safety training, and same with the mold situation. You don't want to, you want to know how to do that stuff safe before you get involved in it because you can get sick. Clothing, face mask, gloves, rubber boots, all that kind of stuff, because it's, you can go down to help and get sick, so you got to be careful.
Yeah, maybe after the class, maybe.
I just want to say that Carl is right. You know, we all want to do something, but it's important that we go through proper channels and not just get enthusiastic, go down, and be part of a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And if some people here do have specific outlets, you know, we'll work with that. But I also know the Mormon community has organized activities, and they have some sites where we can tap into. So unless we get something specific here, I will contact my friends in the Mormon community.
Mm.
And so just hold on, and we'll try to get something that really will be helpful and not just go and add to the problem.
Yeah. Please talk to Elise, and what's your name?
Oh, Laura.
Laura. Talk to Elise and Laura after the class, so then maybe organize and discuss what's the best way to help.
And I'll just add, Elise, when you're talking to people, just check when is the best time. You know, if next week is good, then we'll go next week. If it's better to wait another week than that, then, you know, find out when is the best time to go.
Yeah, okay, very good. Wonderful. Thank you very much. Thank you. So, not much time left. So, maybe, should I read more questions?
Sure.
Yeah, there's a few more questions. So this one is not like a tough one. This is domestic. What is it? Is it money or many? Some.
With so many negative mental
health. Oh, so many. Okay, I said there's so some money. So I'm not sure what it is. With so many negative mental factors instead of mind, how should one approach working with our minds? So according to the teachings, you know, so that you handle the, Wednesday night, how negative thought rise, what is cause, you know, like then sequence. I've been teaching that Wednesday night. Probably like two classes already been taught. Yeah, it requires some kind of meditation, you know, so that's for sure. So daily basis, not just once a blue moon, you know, daily, some kind of daily practice is important. I don't mean when you say, I say practice doesn't mean say some prayer, you know, I don't mean like that. Like some kind of mental exercise on daily basis. Yeah, it's very, very like difficult. So to deal with negative mind, but you know, there's no easy solutions. So what we call mind training texts, mind training teachings, such as, you know, 7-point mind training teachings, and also 8 verses, thought transformations. So if you remember them by heart, so then you recite and reflect on the meaning. So then daily basis, you don't have to sit down, you can go walk around. Meditation on the downside of negative mind, downside of negative mind. So even like training the mind verbally, that means repeating something that you remember by books that you're reading, then you repeat that verbally. So maybe there's a way to stop your mind to get how to protect your mind, According to Vasubandhu, Indian master, he wrote a text called Abhidharma Kosha, Treasure of Knowledge. When you look at the chapter number 5, I believe chapter number 5, so there where he talks of all these different types of negative mindset, how they rise, what kind of circumstance requires to rise. That's detailed explanations. Quotation of knowledge, Abhidharma Kosha, chapter number 5, I believe. Tajyapama Mahindas, first, just remember a few words from there. Tajyapama Mahindas, you are not free from disturbing thought. Now, you check yourself. Are you free or not free? If you are not free from disturbing thought, so Tajyapama Mahindas. So then object is close by. Then looking at them from the different perceptions, we have different perceptions how to deal with those objects. No, if it's very attractive, then you become attached. If it's very unattractive, unruly, then you get angry. That's how the anger does not arise by seeing cheesecake. No. Well, how anger gets rise, then no. Anger gets rise because there's something that you don't like, something appears that you don't like, somebody doing something, say something, all kind of things. No, it's just like so then top of that, not free from disturbing thought, plus objects close by. So then, you know, you kind of like, exaggerate. You exaggerate the circumstance. So then, you know, if you get angry, then you get burned. Then you are finished. If you get angry, then you are finished, no matter what you say. If you're wearing rope, you are finished. You know? If you're a resident teacher of Katama Center, you are finished. No, you have no happiness because you are now burning by anger. Same, anger does not distinguish between monks and nuns and laypersons, doctors, not doctors, no. Same, destroyed, equally destroyed. No. So there's no, like, then remembering that kind of stanza in mind, then repeating that throughout the day, so then it's kind of like guiding yourself to be, it's like almost like putting this, what do you call, there's some, there you put sign, the yellow sign, what is called? B. Then you are putting the sign everywhere, you know, so then you see, you know, so like that. It requires some training. training. But in order to root out, it requires series of training. You know, it's not just simple prayer will eliminate anger. That never happened in the history. But it's not going to happen now. It's not going to happen in the future. You need to put some effort, you know, sort of thing. Oh. So deal with which one is more stronger, then deal with that fast. Instead of worrying of all this, you know, all of that fast, you say there are so many dust in the in the house, you pick up one, that one's big and visible, you pick that up, instead of worrying about all other rest, then not pick up anything. And that, but it's easier said than done. But also, but it requires, oh, knowledge is required. Knowledge is required. A lot of contemplation, contemplations, knowledge that you gain by reading or listening to something. Then you know you contemplate on that. So then slowly, slowly, oh, slowly, slowly. Then you are fully aware how negative things arise. For the beginner, means you never work with your mind. You never train your mind. Beginner is very hard to stick with the object and try to apply antidote. That's not the skillful way to do. What you do, you avoid the object. Then more likely you'll be successful, you know. Yunye means difficult object. Avoiding difficult object, then negative disturbing thought will die down eventually if you avoid the object. But sticking with the object, then try to apply antidote, that's going to be very, very hard. Unless you've been training your mind for a long period of time, so you can do. Otherwise, it's hard. So then, you know, then others like the teaching that all the answers have been said, but you know, we don't apply. It's not like there's no answer. There is answer. The problem is the answer, between answer and us, there's huge gap. You can put king-size bed. That's why it's not working. It's not working. I'll ask you, based on the 8 verses, Thought Transformation text, I'll ask you questions. What do we do when we see some really unruly being? What do we do? As a human, what do we do? Don't think as a Buddhist or as a Christian, as a human, what do we do? When you encounter unruly being, what do we do? What kind of perception rise? What kind of thought that we have? Based on that, that determines whether you are going to be protected or you are going to be destroyed, based on the thought. What kind of thought arises? Huh? Rajin Yembesinjanams, to somebody who's very unhappy or doing something, what do you do? There's a test. Do we feel that we found piece of jewel, piece of diamond? If you feel that you found piece of diamond, will you be happy or unhappy? So does the text suggest? The question is, do we do that? No, we don't do. So, not just feel the fine piece of diamond, cherish. Cherish, then the heart, it's heart. But if you can do, not just monk, if you can do, you get benefit. You don't have to be Buddhist. You don't have to believe in religion. If you can do that, you get benefit because you see, you don't see as a problem. You see, you feel like you found piece of jewel. Then you'll cherish that. Just think about that. Not say, oh, say some prayer. Just say that. Say thought. What kind of thought you generate? What kind of thought you generate? Huh? So then practically, you know, according to Shantideva books, Shantideva, another Indian master, composed this book, Guide to Buddhist Way of Life. Sinjin Mizrin Namgashins. Unhappy people is like everywhere. Everywhere. Is that true? You can't simply destroy all of them. Impossible. In this country we have law. No? Some country probably their law is corrupted, but still they have law, but no, you get in trouble. So that's the reality. You can't destroy all of them. You will see them at airport, you will see them shopping mall, you will see them in your neighbors, in the store, or even in the overseas, you think, oh, like going to Nepal will be paradise. No, no, you will see unruly being there too. So Peru, Machu Picchu, go there, and you will see some people, they are not happy there. You see, everywhere, you can't destroy all of them. That's the fact, that's the fact. If you manage to destroy angry mind, just that one, then it's like destroying, it's the equivalent of destroying all of them. Who said? Not me, Shantideva. Where in Guide to Buddhist Son of Light, chapter number 6, when you read, then he did thorough research how to deal with anger. The chapter number 6 is one of the most dense chapter in that book. Because anger is the most destructive emotions, you know, and so, but when you get angry, it's like, you know, it's like getting dust on your cloth. You can just go like this, then it will be, how you say, separate from your cloth. It's not like that you become inseparable with anger, so there's no hope. So that book has been written around 3rd century, 8th century, 8th centuries by Indian masters. And you know, it's all the message is very much resonant. Resonant.
Resonant, yes.
Resonant. So then you read something, you contemplate, then you contemplate again, 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 then you know, throughout the day, you verbally train, you know, you say something verbally. So then you know, slowly, 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 over time, it will change, not like overnight. How long it's been there? Oh, so need to think. No, so it's not easy to deal with negative mind. It's not easy. Oh, so every day some form of daily meditation or practice is required in order to really, how to say, control your negative thought. It requires, you know, like it requires effort. So. What you call it, it's unfortunate or fortunate, whatever you call it, you know, it requires effort. It won't go away by, oh, I'll wait for 1 month, but the anger get old, then maybe get sick, and it'll die. No, no. Anger never gets sick. You know, so never get sick. No. So people you don't like, they probably get sick, they also have all kind of problems. Anger, you don't wait for them to get sick, they get old, and they never get old. Only thing that you can do is challenge them. Reflecting the downside of anger based on the Shantideva Guide to Buddhist Way of Life and read and contemplate, then you know, do kind of like review meditations on daily basis. Even then it's hard, but we cannot give up. We can give up, you know. So disturbing thought, that's the one, is causing problem for everybody. Buddhist, not Buddhist, atheist, everybody's caused, like, their lives greatly influenced by disturbing thought, something that can be changed. Change with effort, you know, not without effort. With effort can be changed. Oh, slowly, slowly. Slowly can be changed, slowly. Like when you look back, next, like this year, when you look back, you know, the 2020, 2019, then you look back, so then you see some progress. It's not like yesterday, you know, like then, you know, okay. Yeah, very good question, very good question. Please, you know, read, you know, so then study knowledge, study, so then you'll develop some wisdom, then use that wisdom, then contemplate, not just say, not just mumble the word. When you say the word, and think about the meaning, so then slowly change, but change will take place. Not overnight, slowly. you will see progress. Okay? So then one more question, then probably stop. Is it acceptable to focus on one of the 21 paras as a daily practice? Oh, very good. Yeah, answer is yes, that's very good. That will help. Oh. So this I don't understand, like maybe... So talk to me. So I will read this question here. Maybe you know who asked, who's asking this question. Then talk to me personally, maybe outside, so then probably... David, I don't want to read this question here, okay? then also, you know, this last question I read, whoever asked these very good questions. So study is the key, study, particularly Four Noble Truths. Four Noble Truths. Study that. And like the second noble, especially focus on the second noble truth, origin of all the problems. Origin, you know, like first one is a problem, then origin of problems, then the cessations, then the method to lead cessation to cessation. Origin of suffering, origin of problem. Look at that. There's, you know, there's a book called Lamrim. Lamrim, you can read that book, then that particular sections. And there, so then it talks about actions, karma. Then talks about just action, it doesn't do anything. But actions powered by disturbing thought. So then that actions next. That actions, you know, like kind of influence our life. So that is a... the way they translate is called Leji Kunjum, is like the origin of you know, like problems. It's divided into action and another called afflictions. Afflictions? Is it clear? Afflictions. Afflicted mind. Basically disturbing thought. So then read about that. So there are, they divided six. Then there's no six types, 20 types. Those things need to be studied. So then you will be aware. You know, otherwise you may be hitting like arrow, but target here, you've been hitting probably there, so then you're never going to hit target. So that's why you need, it's good to study what are those six root, like as the afflicted mind, what we call samsara. Everything is complicated. Everything is complicated. You know? Life, job, friendship, house, country, policy, politicians. Since everything is like complications. So that's the nature of samsara. So that samsara is caused by what? It's not caused by government. It's not caused by a politician. It's caused by action and afflictions. So then how many of them there? There are six roots. Afflictions need understood. So then when you divide that, then it becomes 20. So then you study them, then you will be aware. And next time, so then, you know, like as I said, not being free from disturbing thought, encountering the object close by, so then you realize now you have to be very, very mindful. If you start to exaggerate the situations, could be putting this here to here. This could be the situation. What's the big deal? It's not a big deal. Because your mind is so uptight, it should be here. Uptight, not flexible, not able to let it go. Somebody put it here, you get into argument. Then you exaggerate. Whole thing is just putting here to here. Or maybe drinking in different cups. Simple things. Going to Shelley Lake or going to Lake Wheeler generate big argument and fight. Both are lake, doesn't matter, Shelley Lake or Lake Wheeler, just going on. Small things, you know, so that's why people get fired into vacations, fired into all kinds of things, you know, like, yeah. Midya Chetana Deva is two types of desires, according to the same, according to Shantideva's God, Buddhism of life. Two types of desire. Desire to want something, desire to don't want something. We all have, you have, I have, everybody have. Then some kind of obstacle takes place between the desire and object. Then you found something to be unhappy about. There's the fuel. There's the fuel for anger. What we do? When we find that food, what we do? We don't rely on patience. We don't rely on patience. We rely heavily on anger. Result? You completely destroyed. So we rely on anger, then yourself is destroyed. No appetite, no sleep, no good judgmental mind, no wisdom, then finish. Now you study them, then you realize, oh, that's how anger rises. You know, so like that, because of the desire, anger rises. So, when anger rises, then you are about to get destroyed, yourself is about to get destroyed. So then you learn that, so then next time, then you decide voluntarily, not out of fear, voluntarily you decide, now no matter what, I will be very, very mindful, and any cause, I will protect myself, I will make sure that I don't get burned. I'll make sure that I don't get burned. Not just me, through me, some other people get burned. I'll make sure. Chilla person, bagini, gavini, two missions. So now, understanding this, so then now you decided, voluntarily you decided, from now on, no matter what, I will protect, make sure that I don't get burned. By, you know, like, we can do that. We can do. It's not like something we cannot do, something that we can do. But it requires some effort and mindfulness. So read, you know, Shantideva's books, Guide to Buddhism, we have chapter number 6. So dealing with these very good questions. Approaching? Yeah. How should one approach working with our mind with our disturbing thought? Very good questions. So that, you know, the question leads back to Four Noble Truths. Particularly, second to the origin of problems there. So then you read that in the text called Liberation, Palm of Your Hand. Liberation in Palm of Your Hand. That book, and there it explains. Okay, yeah. So now, it's exact 11:50, so this is the first time that happened. Stopping on the time, on the right time. thank you very much. And all your comments about hurricane, and thank you very much. So then we see what we can do. Okay.
Please turn to page 246, and we'll read the dedication from Master Shanti Devas, Bodhicaryavatara. And it's on the back of the page that says Kadapa Sundra Prayers if you have the white binder. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain a notion of happiness and joy by virtue of our merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drink. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid, and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power, and may people think of benefiting each other for as long as days remain, for as long as sentient beings remain. Until then, may I too remain, to dispel the miseries of the world. Now turn to page 244 and 245. We'll read the short long life prayers. First, for His Holiness the Dalai Lama. In the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good. All-powerful Chenrezig Tenzin Gyatso, please remain until samsara ends. And then on the other side, long life prayer for Gyume Ken Rinpoche Jitsun Losan Dalek. The one who mastered his speech at a very young age. The one with great patience who received the name Awatare. The one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void. Lama ornament of the yellow hat tradition. Please remain until samsara ends. And on the opposite page 4, Lama Zompa Rinpoche. You who uphold the rulers far away, who serve as the bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Manjana's victorious doctrine, who masterfully accomplished magnificent prayers, honoring the three jewels, Savior, myself and others, your disciples, please, please live long. Then 7 green Tara mantras for Geshe-la and Geshe Sambo's long, healthy, happy lives. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.
And we have a couple of important announcements from first Elise and then from Denise, who's going to be offering a really exciting program right after the teachings.
Sorry you're hearing so much from me today, but first I wanted to thank you all for your tremendous generosity. Mm. We collected carloads of school supplies for the school children in Haiti, and it's a really good reminder to all of us that not only is there suffering an hour away, 3 hours away, but 30 or 50 hours away, there's people still suffering from the effects of disasters, man-made and natural, that have occurred a long time ago. Mm. So thank you for that. Mm. And we will, no matter what else we're doing, we will still be collecting food for people and pets here through the middle of October for the food bank for the victims of Hurricane Florence. And I will look into tapping into some resources that are already ongoing so we can be effective at getting a team together and helping others directly. And whenever you give, as Geshe-la was saying, it's important to pray for people, and that does make a difference. Mm-hmm. And whatever little bit you can do by giving physically, you know, some food or do a little bit of something, that for the people receiving it is just a tangible reminder of the power of all the generosity and prayers that are coming. And I'm sure you've all experienced that before. When someone does one little kind thing or you get one little tiny thing, you know that there's a lot of positive energy behind that. And it's that encouragement is very important. So thank you for that. Some interfaith opportunities that are coming up are very important for helping us to make connections with other people from other cultures and faiths. And it's developing this interconnection with others that encourages us to go out there and think about the happiness and the suffering of other people. So the first opportunity, or the next opportunity, is this afternoon at 3 o'clock at the Turkish and Divan Center on Southeast Maynard Street. There's going to be an interfaith panel discussion about for a peaceful coexistence, and all are welcome to attend. Details are on the board by the back door. And then Sunday, October 7th at 3 p.m., there's going to be an interfaith prayer service, Blessings of the Earth, and watch for details on that on the web. Also coming soon, there at the beginning of October, we're going to have another an Adopt This Dream opportunity to get outreach together with a family program. So if you can't get out to help the victims of Hurricane Florence, or if you want your children to be able to actively engage in doing something, this will be an opportunity. We'll clean up litter over by Lake Johnson. So watch for details about that too. Thank you for your time and attention.
Thank you, Geshe-la. Thank you, Elise. I'm Denise, and I want to invite you to stay this afternoon from 12 until 2. We're going to have an event in here we prepared called an interactive open house. And it's going to manifest from an idea and fade into a memory here, and it's going to be magical. We've got things stashed all around you in this room that you probably didn't even notice, and it's going to manifest into 6 tables that are going to be staffed by 6 guides who are going to have had just a little bit of instruction, but they're long-term familiar with the ideas behind the activities. And so we're going to have tables set up just around the edges of the cushions here, and we'll have a little flow. We can go around, you can try the circuit of activities. And there'll be quick things to try with a range of different modes. They're all related to thinking more positive thoughts throughout the day, keyed to the rhythms of the day that you hear, you see, or do. And why would you want to stay and do this? Well, I think it's going to be a lot of fun, for one thing. It's an opportunity to walk the talk and plan to have positive thoughts more of the time. It's a way to find some common ground with friends and family of all faiths, because all these activities can be used with a list of virtues from any faith and or none, and a way to create your own earworms rather than just live with the ones that come to you from the advertisers. And finally, to give us some feedback, because we have 3 workshops scheduled this fall on Sunday afternoons, and we can go in depth on any of these subjects. So if there's something that you're interested in, that will help us set what those subjects will be. Did I forget anything? Okay. It's all coming from the Rhythm of Virtue book, which is in the bookstore. And if you're... Well, Geshe-la has words in there, too. Geshe-la has words in there, too. It's our book, right? Okay. Say it's our book, our whole community's book. And I wanted to say that if you are interested in coming to this today, you might stay in here for just a minute. We sort of get a sense, and we'll have some volunteers to help set up tables. And then I promise I'll give you a break once we get those tables set up, and then you can go do what you need to do to come back for 12 to 2. And if you want to, you know, first have a conversation with these other folks about what the volunteer activities we talked about today, you know, outside, and then come join us whenever you're done with that, then that's great, too. All right, we'll be here. Thank you.